If we look at the various fields of human knowledge, from physics to biology to psychology, sociology, theology, and religion, certain broad, general themes emerge, about which there is actually very little disagreement. In working with broad-orienting generalizations, we can suggest a broad-orienting map of the place of men and women in relation to universe, life, and spirit. The details of this map we can all fill in as we like, but its broad outlines really have an awful lot of supporting evidence, culled from the orienting generalizations, simple but sturdy, from the various branches of human knowledge.
So we'll follow the course of evolution as it unfolds through the patterned nature or process of all domains of existence, from matter to mind to God, and not merely the physical universe. And we can begin this cosmology by reviewing the characteristics of evolution in the various realms. Now, you've isolated 20 patterns that seem to be true for evolution wherever it occurs, from matter to life to mind. Perhaps we can consider a few of these. Tenet number one is that reality is composed of whole parts.
Yes. Arthur Koestler coined the term holon to refer to an entity that is itself a whole and simultaneously a part of some other whole. And if you start to look closely at the things and processes that actually exist, it soon becomes obvious that they are not merely wholes, they're also parts of something else. They are whole parts. They're holons. For instance, a whole atom is part of a whole molecule, and the whole molecule is part of a whole cell, and the whole cell is part of a whole organism, and so on. Each of these entities is neither a whole nor a part, but a whole part, a holon. And the point is, everything is basically a holon of some sort or another. There is a 2,000-year-old philosophical squabble between atomists and holists. Which is ultimately real, the whole or the part? And the answer is neither, or both, if you prefer. There are only whole parts. Even the whole of the cosmos is simply a part of the next moment's whole, indefinitely. At no point do we have the whole, because there is no whole. There are only whole parts forever. So the first tenet says that reality is composed neither of things nor processes, neither wholes nor parts, but whole parts or holons.
So reality is composed of holons, not just subatomic particles.
Oh, I know that approach is common, but it's really a profoundly reductionistic approach, because it's going to privilege the material physical universe, and then everything else, from life to mind to spirit, has to be derived from subatomic particles, and this will never, never work. But notice, a subatomic particle is itself a holon, and so is a cell, and so is a symbol, and an image, and a concept. What all of those entities are, before they are anything else, is a holon. So the world is not composed of atoms or symbols or cells or concepts. It's composed of holons. And since the cosmos is composed of holons, then if we look at what all holons have in common, then we can begin to see what evolution in all the various domains has in common, how they all unfold, the common patterns they all display.
So what all holons have in common, that's how you arrive at the five tenets?
That's right.
So, tenet number one is that the cosmos is composed of holons, and tenet two is that all holons share certain characteristics.
Right. Because every holon is a whole part. It has two tendencies, or two drives, we might say. It has to maintain both its wholeness and its partness. On the one hand, it has to maintain its own wholeness, its own identity, its own autonomy, its own agency. If it fails to maintain and preserve its own agency or its own identity, then it simply ceases to exist. So one of the characteristics of a holon in any domain is its agency, its capacity to maintain its own wholeness in the face of environmental pressures which would otherwise obliterate it. This is true for atoms, cells, organisms, ideas. But a holon is not only a whole that has to preserve its agency. It's also a part of some other system, some other wholeness. And so in addition to having to maintain its own autonomy as a whole, it simultaneously has to fit in as a part of something else. Its own existence depends upon its capacity to fit into its environment. And this is true from atoms to molecules to animals to humans. So every holon has not only its own agency as a whole, it also has to fit with its communions as part of other wholes. If it fails at either, if it fails at agency or communion, it's simply erased. It ceases to be.
And that's part of tenet number two, that each holon possesses both agency and communion. Now you call these the horizontal capacities of holons. What about the vertical capacities of holons, which you call self-transcendence and self-dissolution?
Well, if a holon fails to maintain its agency and its communions, then it can break down completely. When it does break down, it decomposes into its sub-holons. Cells decompose into molecules, which break down into atoms, which can be smashed infinitely under intense pressure. The fascinating thing about holon decomposition is that holons tend to dissolve in the reverse direction that they were built up. And this decomposition is self-dissolution, or simply decomposing into sub-holons, which themselves can decompose into their sub-holons and so on. But look at the reverse process, which is the most extraordinary, the building-up process, the process of new holons emerging. How did inert molecules come together to form living cells in the first place?